I agree.
That's fucking dumb as shit. Hey, Lona. Lona? What? Oh, how's it going?
It's good. How are you?
Good. For some reason, yours is very loud.
Because I'm yelling.
Oh.
Give me a second.
Well, I mean, it's not like...
Excuse me.
I mean, we can wait. It's not like we have to go anywhere.
Hold on. Is that better?
It's fine.
Yeah, I've heard that voice from my parents before, so I know that it's not.
It's fine. My headphones are just really loud. I don't know what's going on. How is everything?
It's fine. It feels like it's been forever since I've talked to you. Yeah, it's only been a week.
Lona, how is Noah enjoying Edgar Allan Poe? Oh, that well, huh?
The author?
Mm-hmm. I guess she's...
Your dog sheds so much.
She sheds a lot.
It's not even... I've never seen anything like
weird.
It.
This is very
weird. Just keep talking because she's in her headphones, too, so she can hear us going while she's going.
I don't know what's going on.
Can she hear us? I don't know if she can hear us. I think she can only hear who she's talking to.
I actually thought that like something was staining my carpet.
I don't know. I wonder why we're being subjected to this.
I feel like I'm in public and someone's trying to have a conversation.
The George Clooney cloud, the smug cloud. I think we're all good actors. We can do better parenting.
She's a wreck.
This is very weird.
No, she's sweet as guys. She just leaves a trail.
Welcome to the Horrible Podcast. I'm Brian.
Do you know what time you'll be here, Saturday?
Have you started recording, Tyler?
Yeah.
Okay, well, just text me and let me know because I don't know exactly what our plans are.
If,
I just make
also,
sure
my Skype's been acting up, so if it craps out while we're
cover
podcasting,
you
just guys just finish up. I'm
just cover.
Just cover.
Sorry.
I feel like at about 7:30-ish your time, it's gonna accidentally crap out when that pizza timer goes off.
The pizza comes out. That's right.
Well, we're not having pizza tonight, so.
What?
Yeah.
What has happened in the bratty black?
My world has just been shaken.
I know. It's pretty wild how we're not eating
pizza. I like to think that whatever happened, like, at least there was a conversation where the phrase, but we're still having pizza, right?
Right. Yeah, I guess we're just not having pizza tonight. We don't have a pizza in the house. We haven't talked about ordering Papa John's. So
it's very concerning to all of us.
I don't know what to do. This episode.
Do you want us to order you a pizza?
Maybe. What's that Reddit called?
I could just send it to you from the Pizza Hut app.
Yeah, there you go.
Can I just text Domino's like an emoji and they just send me one?
Yeah,
that pizza would be so cold by the time it got from Winder to Nashville.
No, I would choose my location as Nashville.
No,
yeah, I don't know. I think
I'm just imagining that Winder pizza guy is like, ugh, Nashville.
Better be a good
I didn't
tip.
Know there was a Nashville in Georgia.
I have like $40 in my account. That's one of the reasons why, because I've been living on like frozen broccoli all like whatever's in the freezer. I've been like putting into a pan and eating it.
Like pizza?
No.
You should make pantry surprise.
That's what it's been kind of all week.
I love pantry surprise. No, that's a different sort of event.
I have
that comes after the pantry surprise, and then the toilet surprise, and then there's the pantry surprise.
Speaking of toilet surprises, I have a half a head of cabbage, so I could saute some cabbage and something together to make. I'd be farting all night long.
Get yourself some.
That was I think originally what All Night Long was about.
All night long,
pickle that cabbage. Got yourself some sauerkraut.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys read
the corrections?
Yeah.
There's the part where I just finished it. That's why I can remember this part. But
I don't.
the daughter who's the chef gets really pissed off because she puts this really like fancy sauerkraut on her menu and nobody orders it. It's the thing that she's most proud of. And then when the New York Times, the guy who is like the manager of the restaurant says like, oh, But Americans don't like sauerkraut. And then when the New York Times writes it up, that's the thing they rave about. So she fires him. That's what sauerkraut reminds me of now.
What is
this? That's a good book.
It's an amazing book.
Yeah. I mean, it was weird how Oprah helped it and hurt it all at the same time.
Yeah.
What book is it?
The Corrections. David Franzen.
Jonathan Franzen.
Jonathan. Yes, thank you.
The guy who wrote This Is Where I Leave You. And
nope.
The Troop.
That's nope. Jonathan Trooper and Tropper.
Dang. Jesus Christ.
All over
Jonathan
the place.
Tropper and Nick Cutter, respectively. Yeah. And I just finished We Need to Talk About Kevin Today.
It's good.
Is that why you sound so down?
Yeah. I don't know that I would say good. I would say
no appetite for pizza.
Man, I don't.
Do you have appetite to go get a crossbow?
I don't have a crossbow appetite.
The movie was good, but the book's just so much better.
Yeah.
It's one of those where.
When the book revealed that everyone's read the book here?
I'm actually about to start reading it to Noah for his AR challenge this night.
There you go.
The book revealed that the husband, she'd been writing letters to her dead husband the whole time. It shook me. I was like, oh my God.
I had already seen the movie, so that didn't. Like, I saw the movie before I read the book, so it didn't.
I remember.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just saying, I remember I was reading that part, and I like, right before the reveal, I just kind of, like, kind of nailed it. But it was right before. It wasn't very early. Right. I just put the book down. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, yeah. I know what's about to come. Oh, crap. This is bad.
And then what came was you.
Exciting
book.
That book's depressing as fuck.
This conversation is making me feel awkward.
It made it onto a list of, I think I started reading from a list of the top.
The most disturbing novels.
Disturbing novels, with that and The Road. And I read them back to back, and it was a bad time.
Was that in like Wasp Factory?
And Geek Love, which I haven't read Geek Love.
I haven't either.
That didn't make that list, but I found on subsequent list is, God, what is it? Don't tell the Adams or don't talk to the Adams or something. I ended up reading that. I'll have to find what the actual title is, but it was one that I found on a list later, and I found it and read it last year. It was interesting.
That and the On the Beach and
Neil Shute.
And then that what's the weird one that's
all of them,
all the different letters, like they're all pasted together inside the. Soundtrack?
This, huh?
Are you listening to the Rain Man soundtrack?
I'm listening to the Skeleton Key soundtrack.
That's awesome. Worse.
I'm kidding. Kate and I watched Skeleton Key the other night. I like that movie.
I saw it in theaters.
I did too. I saw it with Johnny.
Anything about it other than who was in it and where it was set. And
I like it.
Was there even a Skeleton Key?
There was liked it.
I didn't even realize it was a Oh, that's the
Kate Hudson. Kate Hudson and what's his name? Stellan Skarsgård, Peter Sarsgaard. Mm.
Yes. Okay, that's the one with like the voodoo.
Yeah, I like movies about voodoo.
Not to be confused with The Reaping, which is also in the same setting with Hilary Swank and much worse. I will say that much. I do remember that. That's worse.
I think Skeleton Key was totally serviceable. And it had a big twist that was set up really well.
That Kate Hudson was Goldie Hawn's daughter?
No. Yeah.
Yep.
Oliver shows up.
Remember my career?
Kate Hudson falls off a boat and has Kurt Russell for a husband.
That's my favorite movie of all time ever.
Oh my God, she should remake it with...
Skeleton Key?
Kate Hudson should remake it with...
Oh gosh.
That would be awesome. No, it wouldn't. Never mind.
Hey, no.
What wouldn't?
Hey, no.
A remake of...
It honestly depends. If like David O. Russell makes it with... obviously, it would be Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
Then...
I would watch that.
I love Overboard.
And Robert De Niro.
So are we saying that we love...
it with the exact same cast.
Yeah.
Just the kids are all in their 30s now, and they still live.
How about just a remake, the sequel? What's happened now? Where are they now?
Yeah.
Overboard?
Underboard.
Oh,
it, instead of overboard, it would be underboard and one of them would be dead.
Roddy McDowell.
Oh, no.
Well, that is true. He's dead.
Roddy McDowell's dead.
R.I.P.
Now I'm
Cornelius.
Sad.
Who's my favorite ape? My favorite ape.
And also the her original husband. I was whacking the donkey with painted ladies. Favorite lines in that movie.
Who played him in that?
That's He's a great character actor that I cannot remember his name.
I just can't picture him right now. I feel like I could name him if I could picture him, and I can't picture that character in the movie right now.
He's a very tall man. Could probably play Fred Gwynn's.
It's not Edward Herman, is it? Am I right?
It is Edward Herman. Yes.
That's what all right. I thought I was picturing it. Okay.
Yeah, it's but Edward Herman.
He's dead too.
Grant Slayton.
Oh,
he's dead.
Oh, that's he is, isn't he?
Yeah, his greatest role. He is. He was on the Gilmore Girls. He was Richard Gilmore, and
he is Rory's grandpa.
Yeah, that's a fantastic show.
The Lost Boys.
Yes.
That too. Oh, yeah.
The Lost Boys.
Oh, Edward Herman.
Mike Haggerty's in it. Mike Haggerty.
Right.
He was in Cheers.
Yes. He's also a great character actor. He shows up in random films.
He's awesome.
I gotta feel like that's like the weirdest like compliment / insult that any actor gets. Oh, he's a great character actor, because everyone knows what it really means. But
yeah, which it's like almost like when someone like the whole time at at Fantastic Fest when they're like the genre film fest, like aren't these all genre films? Aren't they all in a different genre? I wanted to yell at so many times.
Yeah, well, I think the
filmerati to look down on me for.
But the thing about that is though is that. Genre is both a blessing and a curse, because like it's the Halloween argument or like the Jaws argument. Like, no, Jaws is better than genre movies. Jaws is not a genre movie. But yeah, I mean, every movie is a genre movie, but that's the argument, is that, oh, it's a genre movie.
Some transcend the genre.
Yeah, like that's the argument. I mean, it's kind of bullshit.
If anything does, it is Jaws.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's that weird insult as well, because it's just another way to say horror sucks.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jaws is really good, but it's not horror.
Yeah.
You know, Silence of the Lambs is really good, but it's not a horror movie.
I think I watched Silence of the Lambs recently, and I think that movie is...
perfect?
Yeah. Like, even as horrific today as it was then.
Yeah. It is one of the least wasteful films in terms of every frame. It's like,
I mean,
it's so well put together and paced. And
the
everything.
Book is the same way. Like, the book is amazingly paced. It reads like a script. I mean, it's almost like Harris wrote that to be a script for a movie. Because
Red Dragon is better paced than any of the movies made from it.
Yeah, but it's longer.
Yeah,
like, I think it's a well-paced novel, but it's like... It almost seems like he took Red Dragon and was like, you know what? I'm just going to make one they can make into a movie.
Oh, certainly. I agree. I think the thing is, because he simplifies his protagonist, because Will Graham is a much more complex protagonist than Clarice Starling is.
Yeah.
Clarice Starling's a perfect movie protagonist. I mean, she fits everything you need. Will Graham is a tough character to do anything with.
Because he's already seen it all. Like, Clarice Starling has the arc of being the new person who's able to see... the darkness. Like, that's why Hannibal's not, the movie is not as good, is because if you take Clarice, I mean, for a lot of reasons, but Clarice Starling as the scene at all is not as good as Clarice Starling the sort of like neophyte.
Yeah, I agree. But it's what the show does so well is figure out it's why Hannibal the show worked so well, though, is they chose the more complex characters to write a show about. Like, a show about Clarice Starling wouldn't have worked. A show about Will Graham and the relationship between him and his and Hannibal is why it does work, as long as it does.
I just started rewatching the show, and I have to amend any earlier statements I said about not liking it, because I rewatched the first episode, and I really liked it. I've watched it twice.
Hannibal?
Yeah.
Yeah. First season is strong. Second season's good. Third season, it gets better at the end, the final season, but first season is really strong.
I'm only about halfway through the first season.
Is someone going to pick that show up?
Nah, everyone else has been signed. They've all been signed for other shows.
Other stuff.
It's kind of dead because of that as much as anything. Yeah. It is a great ending, though. I mean, honestly, the ending is so, it works so well. I'm kind of glad it's not going to be, even though I would like more of it. I like what happens with it.
I watched the first episode of iZombie today, and I like that show, too. I'm going to keep going with that.
Gina and I picked it back up now that it's on Netflix.
Yeah,
because we really
that's
liked
why.
It. And we really liked it when we started watching it. I just love the way Rob Thomas does it. It feels like Veronica Mars mixed with, shit, what
with Matchbox 20.
But there's something I did say it. I felt it was like, and I can't remember what the other thing is. But it's fun. It's really
it's good, fun.
It
has a great... The writing is just, I mean, obviously, really strong.
Yeah. And it just started back. The second season just started back.
Oh, did it?
Last night. Yeah, I recorded it just so when I finish this, I could start.
Yeah,
watching.
I need to record it. I kind of want to see if Kate would like it because she really likes Scream Queens. She likes Scream Queens a lot.
Oh, we're getting to the point like this last night's episode. I'm almost finished with it. I hadn't finished the whole thing. It's getting to that point where I'm afraid it's going to get to. Like, I still enjoy certain aspects of it. Like, I think the, I can't think of his name now, but the awful fraternity, main fraternity
Chad
guy.
Radwell. Chad Radwell.
Oh, my God. He is hilarious and
he's
awful.
The best. He's
oh, my gosh.
He is the best part of that show.
I won't let Chanel, though.
I like Chanel.
This newest episode, I just don't like, this. I don't know. It's just, it's doing the things that, it's like I wish there'd be some combination between Scream, this TV series, and Scream Queens, because yeah. I think Scream got the horror much better, and Scream Queens gets the comedy much better,
yeah.
But Scream the movie was able to do both somehow.
Last night's episode felt like more of a narrative stretch than the others. Like, oh, we're going to have all of these things happen that are tangential to everything. Like, not much of the mystery is solved, but we have all these things that just happen for no reason.
The opening unboxing sequences were fantastic.
That was awesome, though. Yeah. All right. Sorry, Brian and Lona, that we...
Watch Scream Queens then, guys.
I don't watch those two shows. I was like,
If you did, you would have known who Emma Roberts was.
Nancy Drew. Ever.
Brian.
It's true. I would have.
Ooh. I'm going to read a book now called A Winter Haunting by Dan Simmons. Pretty good. It's like a Stephen King novel. I think it's even set in Maine or somewhere.
You should keep starting the music and then just stop. I'm planning on eating.
I thought he was going to read it right now. But just start.
Chapter one. I am born.
My father once gave me the inevitable advice that I don't know. I can't remember the first lines of Grey Gatsby now. I used to know
it was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
That's not Grey Gatsby. I know that one. That one's Tale of Two Cities.
All right, let's go and get started. Ready?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Drew, you ready?
Yeah, I didn't think I had to say so. Sorry.
Okay. Tyler, I'm ready.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Horrible Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lona.
We're back for another week.
Yeah.
Another October week.
October-ween.
You keep saying stop. You've overstayed your welcome, and we're like, no, we're doing it. We're going to keep doing it.
We never came up with a really clever title for this. October Fast?
Rocktober.
Oktoberfest, because that means Faust. I don't know.
Sequel-ween?
Yeah, sequel-ween. I like sequel-ween. Brian, what do you... Yeah? That's, no, your apathetic shrug tells me everything I need to know.
That's fine.
It's fine. No? Terror-ween?
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 This time, they're sequels.
Yeah.
All right.
This time, it's sequels.
Or like a Japanese person saying Halloween.
Next year we should do the third movie of movies. But
we talked about that.
We should do, but I think what would be better is if this year we're kind of doing not second tier, we're kind of doing like second tier horror movies. Next year we should do third tier, but the third version. So like Ghoulies 3.
I think there are way too many. We were sitting there talking actually, and there's so many good threes.
Yeah,
I don't want to give anything away. I know. The whole year, but you know,
we have to keep doing this podcast for at least another year so we can make it to this next Halloween.
Yeah, It sounds like one of us has cancer. You're like, we just got to make it.
It's me.
Oh.
Surprise. Well,
guys, we have to keep doing the podcast, so Lona makes it. Sorry.
It's like I'm already dead to you. Don't even know my
name. Ooh. Well, I just looked at my dog and said your name. I'm sorry. There's
that
a picture of her.
That happens more than you would think.
Man. We got to make it an ex Halloween for Lona's sake.
Yes, we do. That last episode we post, and she just gives up the ghost.
Yeah, she's just like, oh, I'm ready now. But
dear,
I feel like that's when Pinhead shows up.
Yeah.
Hey, good segue, Drew.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Hellraiser 2.
Drew is riding a segue while he's going to his neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hellraiser 2, Hellbound. Let's.
I think it's the other way around.
Yes, it is.
Hellraiser
2. Not to be confused with the other Hellbound movie that I happened upon when I was looking up where I could watch this.
What's
which
the
I
other?
Believe stars Chuck Norris.
I'm sure.
As Pinhead.
I like that Thin Lizzy song.
Yes. Oh, Chuck Norris as Pinhead.
I'm going hellbound.
I think the Chuck Norris one is just him in a room full of liberals.
Right.
Holding just a box of pushpins.
You know, I used to think the Chuck Norris jokes were funny until I found out he was a ridiculously crazy conservative. That
yeah.
I was like, funny anymore.
No, I don't. I thought they were funny for like three of them.
Yes.
I thought like the first three
the
were.
First day I heard it.
Yeah.
It
I was like,
funny.
Oh, man.
Oh, and you're then, still doing them. Oh, that's not funny anymore.
Like
oh,
the
you
next...
got how many of these?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, you're still making shirts with that on there?
No, oh, no. Well, I mean, like if you're Walmart's still making those shirts, I'm sure. Like they're in the back. They're over by the
front.
Hanes.
Come on.
Yeah. Well, they're you know, business in the front. They're party in the back.
Norris
they're
in
right
the
back. They're beside the Falcons shirts.
Walker hey, in the
and,
back.
And the shirts that say things about Jesus.
Or like the Halloween shirts that just have like a pumpkin on them and are way too long for human beings to wear.
They have a blumpkin on them?
Blumpkin.
A blumpkin.
I don't know. I think you're thinking of a different... I don't think Walmart will be carrying blumpkin shirts.
I think that would be
shirts.
Hilarious when they get tricked into those shirts. And can't you imagine the poor sales associate who opens up that box and pulls it out and say, do you sell these?
I was eating breakfast. I meant to say pumpkin when I ordered from the t-shirt vendor and I said blumpkin.
In my mind, it's a peanut spoof, and it's the great Blumpkin Charlie Brown. Lucy's head.
Lap. But not, like, almost.
On a toilet.
Oh, Chuck Schultz. All right. Hellraiser
2.
I'm going to build my own grill company called Hellraiser.
Hellraiser.
And then you could have like pictures. It wouldn't be quite Pinhead, but it would be like a grill motif on the face.
Yeah.
Like just a bunch of meat thermometers coming out of it.
Yeah. Boom.
And it's got to be. It just got to be Doug Bradley. You've got to hire him for those ads.
Of course. What else is he doing besides conventions?
What would you like to grill?
Is he
what
still would you playing like to Pinhead? Eat?
I haven't seen the last six Hellraiser movies. Haven't there been nine?
This is your field. You know, it's a long-time series.
I have not watched all the Hellraisers.
The last I watched, I watched like one of them that had Craig Sheffer in it, like Inferno, I think that was. I think that was five, maybe.
I think I've only seen the first three.
I don't think I've said like the last one was like, Deader or something? Or
yes.
I don't know. They had like weird titles. Shocked.
Lord of Illusions, is that one of them?
No, when that's just Clive Barker.
Nightbreed, Hellraiser Nightbreed? Is that one?
When I searched Hellraiser on Netflix, I was actually taken aback by how
they got
many
them all.
There are. I was like, whoa. And I immediately thought what you thought. I was like, wow, Loner needs to jump on this.
It's,
yeah, no, Deader is Revelations, maybe. And please tell me that they
the fourth one is like in space, right?
That's right. I thought I read that Pinhead is no more Doug Bradley.
Oh. Yeah,
the last one I don't know if it's the last one, but in Hellraiser Revelations, the hour and 15-minute Hellraiser Revelations.
That sounds about right.
Stephen Smith Collins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that I don't know that guy.
I don't know.
I have to say, though, after watching Hellraiser 2, I feel like that series didn't have a lot of ideas to work with.
They pretty much used all the first film's ideas again.
Yeah.
In the second one.
It was kind of
really
like
good.
Evil Dead, where it's like, this isn't a sequel. Well, I guess it was a sequel, but it was not...
It was really just a continuation of...
Yeah, it's like Halloween. It actually was more like Halloween 2 in a lot of ways. Because she starts in the hospital, and there's hospital stuff. And then she gets out. Hey, no. Well, no, I can't hear us. And then she gets out of the hospital and more stuff. It's kind of like Halloween 2 and Nightmare on Elm Street 3, right? Because there's there's kind of the Dream Warrior.
Oh, I thought Dream Warriors a lot. Yeah.
Because she even kind of looks like Patricia Arquette.
She does. I thought, and in fact, I thought she was a character from A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, like, yeah, that other girl. Yeah.
Yeah, the blonde girl.
Imogen
not...
Boorman.
Yeah. Yeah.
The puzzle player.
No, puzzle. I like Puzzler. Puzzler sounds good.
The puzzler.
Solved a puzzle. I like that. It's like that's how you. So essentially, solving a Rubik's Cube is a bad thing because Pinhead's going to show up, or the Chatterer, or Butterball, or I love this. Female Cenobite. That's literally her name. It's like when they all get names, but the female Cenobite.
Sick, former cancer survivor because she has like the trach ring in her neck.
Yeah. I love the. Well, let's jump ahead. It doesn't matter.
And her name in real life is Barbie. The female Cenobite. Her real name is Barbie. Barbie Wilde. That's it. That's her name. Barbie Wilde.
That's not her real name.
Well, that's at least her. That is her stage name, which I think is hilarious. It would be like if Pinhead's. I mean, it would be like if Pinhead's real name, if Doug Bradley's real name was like Rock Bruds. I can't think of another. Rock Hudson's the only thing I can think of.
Chest Rockwell.
Right. Chest Rockwell.
It's a decade since Doug Bradley's been Pinhead.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fine. Yeah.
Hell World was 2005, and that's the last.
That sounds
one
terrible. These movies quickly became parodies of themselves. Like
the third one's actually not bad. I remember the third one being pretty decent. Hell on Earth.
I saw 2 and 3 in theaters.
Yeah, I saw 4, the one in space in theaters. Yeah.
What's is the one in space also the one with the toy maker where they dealt with like
Bloodlines, I believe.
Yeah, where they dealt with how they made the box, the puzzle box.
Yeah, that's the one with Le Marchand.
Yes.
Because
that was 4, I guess.
To prepare for this week's episode, I actually read The Hellbound Heart.
It's good. It's good.
It's short.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
he's really good at short. I like his short fiction a lot. Is the thing.
I think it's fine. I actually like the movie a lot better.
Okay.
I mean, I like the story, but I want more mythos. I feel like it kind of ended abruptly. The book. I liked it, though. I want to read more of it. He just released a book called The Scarlet Gospels, which deals with the death of Pinhead.
Which feels to me like a little bit, I don't know, I want to read it, but it feels also like, you know, an author who's struggling to, you know, what is something that people know me for? I want to write more about Pinhead then.
Well, I think
I'm fine with that, but at the same time, was it a necessary
evil? I think he's coming back around on Pinhead because he nearly died. He said, like, I read an interview with him. I think it was Shock Till You Drop, one of the horror sites where we talked about how he went into this coma and nearly died. And when he came out, he was kind of like, he wants to both close and reopen the book on it because he wrote this novel and is also purportedly writing the reboot of Hellraiser, but that has been in development hell forever.
Do you think that
they read it as a comic? I think
is their theme song should be "Shock Until You Drop."
Right. Yeah. I was thinking that.
I mean, you know, because it's a horror site, it should definitely have a nice melody.
All off. Whoa.
I think Hellraiser 2 is a creepier film than Hellraiser 1 is.
Mm-hmm.
The original Hellraiser. I like Hellraiser a lot, and I really like Hellraiser 2 as well. I think it had a lot more. The images in this movie disturbed me a lot more than the first one. Now, I mean, Uncle, you know, Frank in the first one was very disturbing and all.
Jesus wept.
God, that's a great.
So let me ask you this though, like I get like, do you guys still like Hellraiser? Like, it's a movie that you would sit down and watch
the first
to enjoy it.
I do. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Lona, what'd you say?
I didn't mind it, but it's not one that I jump back to that I'm like, this is what I want to watch again.
Yeah.
When I have watched them again, I haven't enjoyed them as much. I haven't disliked them. I just haven't enjoyed them as much.
I don't know, man. I rewatched Hellraiser last year, and I didn't really get anything out of it.
I'll watch it again when Noah watches it.
Yeah.
I am not watching that with my son. Oh.
Oh, well, I guess you're just a better parent than me, aren't you, Drew?
No, I have no desire to. That has nothing to do with that. It's like one of those things where you don't want to watch it with your mom kind of thing. I don't want to watch it with my kid.
I got the Pinhead little Funko doll, and I was asked a bunch of questions about Hellraiser and can I watch it? And I was like, no, you can't watch it. Like, well, why not? I was like, because I can't, you know, I can describe horror and I can tell you about sex, but I can't really explain to you right now how they interweave with each other between, like,
Show him. There it is.
I'll say, like, Jackson, I have such sights to show you. I have an eternity.
Oh, the places you'll go and be grossed out.
But Pinhead is so much more relevant than Hellraiser, I think, is the thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think Pinhead retains his relevance even more than the Cenobites as a whole. But, I mean, he does. And yeah, I don't know that the movies do. And that's what keeps them alive. That's why we have all these really terrible sequels, is because Pinhead's a fascinating character.
And I think people just want to make a good Hellraiser movie. Like, I think the first one's fine. For the record, I think the first movie's fine.
Yeah,
but I think those movies are more visually entertaining than they are good. Like, the first movie's more visually entertaining. And I would say the same thing about the second movie.
Oh, I agree.
It's visually stunning.
The gore FX is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, the gore effects are great, but the story of the movie is virtually non-existent. And I would say almost the same thing about the first one, except for the first one has a really interesting mythos, and this one doesn't quite introduce any, like, interesting myth stuff to it until the end, but not really.
I mean, like how we get to see Pinhead made.
Yeah.
Although they filmed a scene that... But because actually they were going to film a scene that was more elaborate about the making of but they cut it and it's not in the I think they're going to put it in the big box set.
Yeah, it is. They've been releasing stills from it on horror sites, like the cut surgeon scene from Hellraiser 2. Oh, which is not going to be released in the US for some reason.
Well, yeah, the UK already got the Great Puzzle Box box set years ago.
Right.
Yeah, which we didn't get.
I think that would add a lot to this film. I think if you have that scene in here, it feels like a much less anemic movie. Because to me, it's kind of thin as far... Like, I think there are a couple of really memorable scenes. Like the scene where... Not Julia. Is it Julia?
Yeah.
Yes.
Where Julia emerges from the bed and kills the guy who's scratching the maggots off of him.
That scene sits with me still. Like... when I think of Hellraiser 2, that scene really is the one that sticks with me.
Well, that but one
he's
and the
just
one
imagining the maggots, though, right?
Right.
Right, but he's insane.
Well, that scene and the scene at the end where the doctor has the giant penis holding his head, like he becomes a Cenobite, and it's a giant penis that's holding him.
The singing doctor. Oh,
yeah. I think, I mean, the Hellraiser series feels in a lot of ways like, oh shit, what's the I just lost the band's name. Hellbent for Leather, what's their name? Judas Priest.
Judas Priest.
Like, I feel like this I completely lost that in my head.
Well, I mean, he dresses like Pinhead.
He does dress like Pinhead.
Well, because Judas Priest sort of paved, like, unintentionally got people into leather and all this sort of gay.
Unintentionally?
Like, well, it was intentional on Rob Halford.
Yeah, right. Rob Halford, like, intentionally prepared the world for gay culture. Yeah. I feel like Pinhead is the horror movie, 80s horror movie equivalent, because, I mean, Clive Barker's gay and it has a lot of sort of like BDSM stuff in it. So I feel like it's kind of like preparing the world for like sexual subculture at the very least.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to talk about his novels, so go ahead.
I was going to say, this would be a fun experiment to contrast 80s metal bands with their horror counterpart. If Hellraiser is Judas Priest, what would, like, Iron Maiden be, and what would compared to, you know...
I'm trying
maybe
to think
too much. Maybe we can think of. Maybe I should have posed this question before, so we can
Iron
Maiden.
Yeah, maybe that would be a good end of year discussion. Like, what are the?
Think about it, guys.
I don't know that any 80s. Maybe Lucio Fulci. I don't know. Like, it had to be like a huge, expansive repertoire of movies.
Who would be Nightmare on Elm Street? Who would be Halloween? Who would be Friday the 13th?
Metallica would be
the big dumb guy just charging at you.
Maybe I think maybe Metallica would be Friday. the 13th. But they were way more intellectual than that. But they weren't campy. Like, what would be, like, Nightmare would be a campy band that that didn't take themselves too seriously. So maybe...
And dreamy, too, though. They'd be a little dreamier than... Dio's so mythic.
Yeah. I think that's more, like, cultish. I think Metallica Ozzy. Would be Romero. I think Metallica would be, like, the dawn of the day of the dead. Of the deads.
I think this is interesting. We need to hash this out more.
Yeah.
We'll talk off air,
but I like it. I think
Nightmare would be Anthrax. Anthrax didn't take themselves too seriously, but Nightmare was way more popular than Anthrax ever was. Yeah. But I think that would be an interesting conversation. Yeah. But I think Judas Priest is definitely Hellraiser.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you there.
I like my favorite part of Hellraiser is that they can only resurrect people from a period mattress. I can only come back to life if you sacrifice someone on a period mattress.
When you said period mattress, my first thought was like,
period?
Yeah, I was thinking like, I mean, it looked kind of old, but not like from a, it didn't seem like it was 19th century.
No, I'm talking about a mattress.
We got it. We're not, I mean, we're college graduates. We understand.
If you have not read any of his long fiction, because his novels are long.
Yeah.
Barker's Full Novels are some of my favorites that I read in high school. I mean, I Imagica, Weave World, The Great and Secret Show. I mean, we're talking some fantastic reads. The Damnation Game. I loved all of them when I read them. They're fantastic. And I love his short fiction too. I think he's a great short fiction guy, but man, I was just thinking of how great it would be if he'd actually made, if one of his longer, novels had been made into a movie, because there's some really cool stuff that could have come out of some of those others. Great and Secret Show is one that always jumps back into my head. That's just fantastic. But Imagica was, I called it my favorite book for years. It's just it's just lovely.
Did you ever read Cold Heart Canyon?
No, that's the thing. I was about where I stopped on him was like Sacrament, and so anything post Sacrament I haven't read. I want to go back and do it, but they just don't interest me at all.
I didn't finish Cold Heart Canyon for a weird reason. Like, I started reading it. I checked out the audiobook from the library and started listening to it. And one of the discs didn't work. So I was like, fuck it. I'm not going to persevere. So I just started. But I liked, it's a really sexual, salacious book. It was weird to listen to in a car because there's a scene,
right.
Like there's a scene where the main character and this other guy double team this girl, and it's like it goes into the minutia of like where things go and what it feels like.
What book was this again?
It easily has one of the worst. It had one of the worst covers.
It's just Clive Barker's face on the cover.
Well, but done up as an old Hollywood star because it's set in that time period, yeah. And just as a horror novel, it doesn't sell itself well at all. And that really hurt that novel. I think it's just looking back as this glam, this 40s glamour photo of Barker himself, well, who is fascinating.
I think that's what Hellraiser's like. Shtick is it's a very sexualized horror.
Yeah. Oh, certainly. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it deals with
bondage,
the pleasures versus the, or because the whole thing about the Cenobites is they're angels to some, demons to others. So I guess it's how you take them.
I don't think it's sexual enough, honestly. I think it revels a little too much in, but I think it revels too much in the painful side of it, like of their deal. It seems difficult to find why people buy into their deal when most of it ends up being flaying you alive.
There's
oh, you get to have sex, and that's for a few seconds before we actually just, skin you.
I think that was one of my problems with the short fiction, with the Hellbound Heart, too, was that there were moments of this sort of like salacious, but it was still mostly implied. Like even when Julia starts murdering dudes, there is less of a sexual nature to it because she lures them back to the house. But, and like, there doesn't necessarily need to be a sexual relationship, but there's only the, like, not allure of sex, but like the indication of sex, but not actually any sex in it. And also, like Frank at the beginning of the book, and also kind of in the movie as well, is like he is led to believe that there was going to be pleasure, but it's really just him getting flayed alive.
Right. And I mean, that's what the Cenobites are really about. Like, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, they're not very generous at all. There's nothing really that they're giving you. The pleasure is their pleasure.
Although they do seem to be they do seem very reasonable.
Well, Kirstie. They give Kirstie a
couple chances.
A lot of chances. Like, you keep on solving this puzzle and keep on telling us, oh, hey, I didn't mean to. I love that. Like, that moment when you're like, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to solve it.
Wait, demons. This wasn't why I called you.
Wait.
I just thought I was completing a Rubik's Cube. Goddamn.
I also thought, I mean, that also manifests itself in the second movie because I can't remember her name. Tiffany, the blonde girl who's always solving puzzles. When she Patricia Arquette Jr. Once she gets them to show up, she summons them, but their response, weirdly, like at this moment where it's like, oh shit, she's about to get it, their response is like, we are summoned by desires, not by hands. And
I like that line though.
I agree, but it's like,
she's just summoned by me solving a puzzle. I didn't mean to. Like,
yeah, but
a puzzle.
I guess you're kind of right about that. It's like, it's not, she didn't bring them. Well, I guess that's what they say. It's like, it's not just because she solved the puzzle does not mean that she's the one that called us, you know, because the doctor is the one that wanted them there.
Right, because the people who want them can't solve the puzzle, it seems.
Frank.
Which is weird, like, it's almost as though Pinhead and the rest of the Cenobites don't necessarily want people to torture. Like, you know what I mean? It's like,
oh, you got it. Okay, fine, we're here.
Again with this.
But, like, you know,
I was trying to binge watch House of Cards.
I was only on episode 10.
The connection is, pardon my pun, hell.
How are they going to get themselves out of this one? I don't know. It's weird because it feels like they both want people to torture, but don't want people. They're like the ennui of ever existence. Like,
they're
the
angsty.
Ennui of forever.
They're motherfucking angsty.
They're very. I mean,
the goth kids.
Yeah, I mean, they're the goth kids of the horror universe. The Cenobites would be the kids like hanging out in the corner of the cafeteria. Like, I don't want to do. Like, this is stupid.
Oh, yeah, I think everything's dumb. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I don't know. Lona, what'd you think of the movie?
I mean, it was fine.
Okay.
That's it.
Did you want me to expound?
Yeah. I mean, we are on a podcast where you talk about stuff. I mean, they don't call you the best color commentator in the business for nothing. That's from Major League. Sorry.
Anyway. No, to be fair...
She didn't watch it.
No, I didn't watch it. No, I did. And I think the most riveting part was I was in the kitchen watching it like I'm prone to do, and Noah wandered in and was like, what are you watching? And I was like, yeah, you know, this is really not a great representation, I think, of Hellraiser. You know, and I started to try to say, well, you know, let me tell you a little bit about it. And I was like, you know, I just...
He didn't remember the Funko toy that I was forced to buy because all the other kids were buying them at the Jackson's party.
You were forced to buy yourself?
Yes.
No.
They were all.
Do you remember the toy that Brian had to buy himself at Jackson's birthday party?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about it? What do you remember about it?
I remember it was Diablo.
No, yours was Diablo. What was Brian?
I didn't get one.
Brian didn't get one.
What?
Which one did he get?
He got
Pinhead.
He got Pinhead.
There you go.
I mean, he's so fascinating. Pinhead is so fascinating.
Yeah, Jackson got a Weeping Angel. I got Diablo, and Joe got that guy from Skyrim.
It's funny that most of the kids got Satanic or Evil things.
What is Weeping Angel?
Doctor Who.
Oh, it's the Doctor Who from
Those
Blink.
Those things are fucking scary, though.
Yeah, that's the only episode of Doctor Who I've shown Jackson, and it is like, he is scared numerous people with that story.
The only Funko toy I have is the dude from the Big Lebowski.
I have Pinhead and then the Big Trouble Little China.
I think I'm going
to... I don't have anything.
It's one of those weird things where I could see myself buying 100. Like, just one night, just up too late, and just on the internet, and just like, fuck it, I'm going to buy... Here are all the ones I want.
All of them.
That's the problem.
Do they have any girly ones? Do they have, like, a Scarlett O'Hara one?
I'm sure. They have hundreds.
Yeah, you... If
also, you're not girly. You don't want girly things.
I'm girly.
That's cool.
Right. You don't want girly things. You want horror things. You're the one who always talks about Noah can't hear me, can he?
No, he can't.
Okay. You're always the one talking about your second abortion. You're not like...
Oh, he knows about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's a girl issue.
He was there. He was like 6 months old. I was like, I got to nurse him. Can you guys just like, you know, stop? Hold on.
Like, yeah. We like to play.
I'm sorry I brought this up.
They've Christ. Got a Kate Hudson one from Fool's Gold. Would you want that one?
No, I do not.
That's girly.
Really, just put in search Funko and just put any name, and I guarantee you it'll be.
Search Funko Kate Hudson, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Oh, they might have that.
No,
oh, speaking of.
Scarlett O'Hara.
Speaking of Scream Queens, way off topic. Dude's Matthew McConaughey accent
was great.
It was ridiculously good. All right, anyway, that's my Scream Queens minute. I don't know. I thought that like Hellraiser 2 visually was a really cool movie to watch, but
the glistening gore, I mean, it's glistening.
Yeah. Well,
the skin suiting was my favorite portion of the entire film.
Yeah,
there's not a time where skin suits, whenever a skin suit is mentioned or comes up, that your story of skin suits is all that could come to mind.
I watched it. I was so excited. I was like, skin suiting. I've been there.
It's people's flesh is just peeling off at all sorts of moments. The, you know, faces are being ripped off. I think that the comment about too much Cenobite and too much Hellraiser, I think that it could have been Hellraiser 1 and 2 and stood at that. And that could have been our Hellraiser double feature.
I almost feel like this movie would have benefited from just being really heavy. Since it's so little happens, it's ostensibly, I keep wanting to call her, her name is Kirstie, right? Since this movie is so light on story, it's ostensibly just her escaping from, like, it's kind of a mystery, but kind of not.
It's kind of a mystery.
Yeah. Since it's that element, I almost feel like it would have benefited from more mythos and more like Cenobite-y stuff. You know, the shop in the mall where you don't want to eat but end up eating. Which brings to mind Pinhead working at a Cinnabon. What would you like the sauce with that?
That's actually the fish one.
We have such buns to show you.
We have such sauce to show you.
I do imagine like it's a very Robot Chicken-y sketch is what it is.
Yeah, it really is. They've probably already done it.
Especially now that they've had because they'd mash it up with Better Call Saul.
Mm.
They'd totally mash it up with Better Call Saul with like Pinhead and Saul working at the same Cinnabon or something.
Yes, there you go.
At the same mall, I guess.
But I feel like this movie it has maybe more memorable moments than the first one. Maybe not, but it has a lot of memorable moments. It just doesn't have a story. Like, that's the big problem with sequels to really outlandishly popular horror movies. I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street 2 also... Although, I think... Did Nightmare on Elm Street 2 have too much story? Maybe that one had...
2's the one that gets... You know, 2's the one that has the most subtext of any horror film.
Oh.
I mean, that's the thing about 2. 2 has a whole documentary about its subtext.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like one half of Never Sleep Again was just about the subtext of Nightmare on Elm Street 2.
Well, it has its own documentary now, doesn't it? I think it does.
Yes.
The second one?
Yeah, that's okay. About the homoerotic subtext of 2. I think the thing about this one is... I mean, I think Hellraiser and Hellraiser 2 are ostensibly they become interchangeable is the thing.
Yeah.
Like that like the second one doesn't do anything that vastly different. And it becomes the weird thing is it's so much exposition from the first one. Like the beginning has the biggest weakness of any cheaply done horror film is when you show me too many scenes in the first one, I realize you're just padding your time there.
Yeah.
And they really feel like they over-explain what's going on at some point. At some
and
points
still
as well.
Don't really explain what's going on.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, the second movie doesn't really explain what's going on at all.
One of my favorite, I think consistently my favorite thing about these two movies is Christopher Young's score. Hellraiser 1 and 2. It's very
fantastic.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And the story is that during the making of Spider-Man 3, that Sam Raimi was so obsessed with Christopher Young's Hellraiser score that he kept hammering Danny Elfman to make it sound more like Christopher Young. Up until the point where Danny Elfman just quit and they hired Christopher Young to do the rest of the score for Spider-Man 3, which is funny because as I watched the doctor's sections, like,
that's
Sam,
the best
I
thing.
Mean, well, yeah, but Raimi totally stole Doc Ock's, like, octopus kind of arms from the doctor scene, the little, you know.
Okay. Hmm. That's two, though.
Spider-Man 2, that's what I meant. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I also think, in talking about how not great the story in the second one is, that the mystery isn't well developed either, and it's overly
what is
pondered.
The mystery?
I think Kirsty and the dude go to the house, or does Kirsty go to the house at all? It's just the dude, right? The Big Lebowski goes.
No, they went together. I thought they went together because
he went
like,
once.
He's like making out with Julia and gets killed by Julia while Kirstie's there, right?
No. Wait. Okay. Yes. But he goes there the first time, and that's when he witnesses Julia emerge. Yeah. Also, right. I can't stop looking at your wife, who's just hanging out in the back. She just bent over in frame of the Skype video.
It is funny.
I can't help. She's just like moving around as though we're not podcasting. It's just hilarious. But, sorry to break the fourth wall, podcast listener.
Yeah.
But yeah, like,
I draw the line in with like no skin making out.
Yeah.
Like you know,
I think that's the point.
Care. Yeah, I don't care how much you wrap yourself up in gauze. I'm not gonna make out with you.
I think
she was hot.
It's the what's weird is the book makes her out to be like super hot, and maybe she's 80s hot. I mean, with skin.
She's 80s British hot.
Oh, Julia?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, she's ridiculous. Like she's British British hot.
But yeah, I think the skinless thing is I mean, I know that's kind of the joke, but that's how powerful the other side is, because it's just the inverse of the first movie. Like, it's just the inverse of Frank. Like, that's all this movie is. Like, it's just that story told again, but it's a lady this time instead of a dude.
And if they're being tortured in hell or, you know, excited and ravaged in hell, how are they so easily reached by bloody a floor and a mattress?
Well, that's something that the book explores, is that Frank apparently is so weak in the first one that he can barely utter words. And so it takes the blood to revive him. So the more blood, the more.
What was he doing under the boards in the first place? Under the floorboards?
I think it's more, it's like a metaphysical thing where he existed not in the floorboards, but in another realm that was simultaneously
under the floorboards.
Under the floorboards.
Like Dr. Manhattan.
He wasn't literally under the floor. Yes.
He wasn't
like
literally
Dr.
there, but he was kind of right there.
He's like the Schrodinger's cat of like crawl spaces, basically.
Right. Yeah. He's the Schrodinger's cat of crawl spaces.
But he was really there.
He was there, but not there.
But he wasn't.
Well, she was there, but not there. She was in the bed, but not in the bed.
But he was.
No.
Well, she wasn't in the bed until she was observed in the bed.
She wasn't in the bed until she was in the bed. Or was
she? No, no. Well, she was not in the bed until she was observed in the bed. Because until she was observed in the bed, no one knew she was in the bed.
But she's in
the bed. So if you weren't observing the bed, she could have been there or not. She was simultaneously there and not there.
Yeah.
No, she's in the bed.
Because of the door to the room with the bed.
It's the uncertainty principle. By observing something, you change its properties. So,
observing something, Pinhead shows up.
Yeah, so
that's what it is.
It just seems
observe
like
nothing, no Pinhead.
It just seems like Pinhead and the rest of the Cenobites are really bad at hanging on to people too. Like, if this were told from their perspective, it would kind of be like, it's kind of like Home Alone, where
it's like a screwball comedy.
Yeah, it's a screwball comedy. Or like
these
damn
people.
It.
They're just like sitting around playing cards, and all of a sudden they realize people are gone. And they're like,
it's like that scene in Seven where the security guards at the library are just playing cards while Morgan Freeman looks for Dante's Inferno. You guys gonna miss? Never mind. I know that whole movie. So
all these books. Y'all
so
sit down. and playing cards.
That's right.
How's this for culture? Another thing that I did notice that, as far as things that it influenced, though, so definitely can see where Silent Hill was influenced by this.
Yeah,
and that with the other world kind of stuff, and like when they go, like just the weird kind of, like you know, I don't know, just I very much saw where this was something that definitely influenced the creation of that. I would think.
Do you think that there's something special about this town, or do you think that people all over the world summon the Cenobites?
The latter. I think that's everywhere. They're just, yeah.
In three, it's just, they're in New York, aren't they? Or Los Angeles?
It's wherever they go to a club. I remember they massacre people in a club because there's the CD head or whatever, the one with
video
the CD
head Cenobite.
He has the CDs that he shoots out. Or it's
also
in his head.
An amazing Motorhead cover of Ozzy Osbourne's song Hellraiser.
Ooh, neat.
I just don't know. Like, it just, I don't know.
We all have desires, Tyler.
We all do.
It's all around the
world. I lost my thought. I was just trying to think of, like, well, if, is this the only place where, it seems like they would hang out at the exit if this was the only place where they're getting out. But
like
I guess this
mouth?
Is, yeah, like, it has to be this town.
Yeah, what I think that begs the interesting question is why we are just following. I feel like we're just following like one group of Cenobites that go together to hang out with people. So there's like another group that goes out. There's like Nail Face.
It's kind of like, you know, well, so you're saying
like
it's
friends.
Like Predator 2.
It's like Friends because you've got your different groups. We're just looking at this certain group of people go into the coffee shop in their neighborhood.
Yeah.
But there was also Seinfeld and Mad About You, and they were all full of boring white people.
Right.
Ooh,
so are you saying that the Cenobites are like boring white people?
Wait, so the Cenobites, though, these Cenobites, Pinhead Cenobites, are...
This is making me very hungry.
Are they Seinfeld? Because they're definitely not the Mad About You Cenobites, because that's the worst Cenobites. I don't want to go hang out with the Mad About You Cenobites.
I feel like this one was kind of about nothing.
Yeah.
So
this is a hell about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, Jerry.
But I do like...
too, the Seinfeld of Hellraisers.
But, like, so is Pinhead, like...
Elaine as female Cenobite. Yeah,
there was shrinkage. There was shrinkage.
Is he the coolest Cenobite, then? And, like, is there, like, are the other groups, like, trying to be Pinhead, or do they all hate Pinhead? They're like, oh...
I don't know. They're not very
Pinhead.
Good at their job.
He's so cool.
I mean,
Pinhead
I think it's hell. It's hell, and if it's, like, if anything like an RPG game, when you have to assemble a group of adventurers, you always have the leader, and then there's the other people that are surrounding you that aren't as good as that leader, but that leader will bring them together to do things. So I think Pinhead is the
he's Cloud.
Yeah, he's the main dude, and he'll bring he brings the other Cenobites up. So these Cenobites aren't the best, but you know, hell couldn't give all the best Cenobites to one group.
I love that we say Cenobites. It's making me so hungry.
I want to know what the other Cenobites are. I want to see that other group. I want to know what's going on with them.
There's probably
some fan fiction out there. Some weird.
I'm sure there is.
There has to be a lot of them too. If we think about, like, if you think about the mythos of the Hellraiser. The big revelation in this one is that they were once human. Like, I think that having the surgery scene cut, it reveals that, like, they were all once people. That's the big revelation here, that they're not just demons. And right. So I wonder what the application process is like to become a Cenobite. I'm going to try to say Cenobite, because we've been saying Cenobite, and it's just...
Cenobuns. Also, the...
answer my question. What is the application process like, Brian?
I mean, that's the thing. I don't think the one thing we've ever been given is
Judas Priest, yes or no?
That Captain Pinhead was that bad a dude?
He was like, a very fair demon.
I assume he was a Nazi.
I don't think he was. I think he's a British, he's like an Egyptologist. All the things I think is like, he discovers them. If I remember, like they deal with it, I think in three, is that what they start to deal with it? I think where we find out like, he was like, it was World War I era, like British soldier, I think. I think he's in Britain. I mean, in Britain, in Egypt around the time that maybe it's even, he goes into a tomb there or something like that. And that's where he discovers it. Yeah, and, but that's the thing. So it's all about just what you desire, I guess. You don't have to be a bad dude, because then, yeah, all the Cenobites would just be a bunch of fucking Nazis.
Well, I mean, one of the
like all the Nazis turned into Cenobites.
One of the Cenobites is a child. Choppers.
Yeah, I like that. That was cool.
So I think maybe
Chatterer.
Yeah,
Butterball's
a fat kid. I know that kids talk a lot, so that makes sense.
I think so. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're bad. They just become. I mean, and they have like a weird sense of justice. You know what I mean? Like, so it's not as though they're just there for torture. I mean, I guess they are.
Well, it's
not really justice. What is it?
Well, I mean, they have a sense, but they have a code.
Fair, I guess.
It's
fair. They have their own moral code.
Yeah, they have their code because Trixie, what's her name? Kirsty. She gets
Trixie.
She's able to, like, in the book, in The Hellbound Heart, she unlocks and she has the box and they allow her to, if you can get your, it's kind of stupid. It's kind of like Rumpelstiltskin, but if you can get him to say his name, right, then we will deal with him. But if you don't, then we're going to deal with you. So they're also kind of lazy. Like, they just kind of push their work up. They're like, we don't want to do the work. You do the work.
I'd like to think about trying to get Pinhead to say his name. I'd like to get Pinhead to say Pinhead.
Right, well, because he never acknowledges that his name is Pinhead.
Well,
why would he call himself Pinhead?
Do you know where that comes
pejorative.
From? Like, do you know where that comes from?
Pins in his head.
That's my assumption.
That's That's where it was a visual effects artist on the first movie. Clive Barker actually prefers that it be called the Hell Priest. Pinhead was actually the visual effects artist from the first movie said.
How about that?
Pinhead, yeah.
Oh my God! Do you think it
is a lot pithier though than Hell Priest?
He also doesn't like it. Clive Barker doesn't. It's weird.
So you're telling me that if Clive Barker is at a signing of a book and you refer to the Hell Priest as Pinhead, you will probably be just like asked to leave.
Mate.
you should go now.
But in a really low gravelly voice now.
Yeah. From all the cigar smoking.
Is his voice, I mean, that's part of one of the things that's really weird, is his voice like has changed considerably over the years.
Yeah.
He's changed a lot from the 90s Clive Barker that
he's very pretty when he was younger, yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Not so much now.
The Jesus Wept, because I looked up a bunch of stuff about the series.
Shortest sentence in the English language?
What?
Jesus Wept.
Bible?
Well, they pulled that. That was ad libbed. He was supposed to say "fuck off," but instead he said "Jesus wept." He ad libbed it in the moment.
Well, it's a better line. I think
it's totally, mm-hmm. totally a better line.
Well, yeah, because "fuck off" is never a great line. Let's face
it. Or "go to hell" would have even been better. You know,
I don't know. I love "Jesus wept."
No, I love "Jesus wept." I'm saying, but "go to hell" would have been a better line than "fuck off."
Yeah, "fuck off" is a terrible line at any point in time. Like, there's always something better you can say than that.
If he'd gone, "welcome to prime time, bitch."
That was ad-libbed, yeah.
Have you seen the Rick and Morty episode? Do you watch Rick and Morty at all?
Mm-mm.
The episode,
I know what you speak.
They go into Inception and they wind up getting into Freddy Krueger. His name is not Freddy Krueger. His name is like Hand Scary Guy.
Freddy Krueger.
Right, so he has swords for fingers, and they go into his dream, and his problem was he was a bad student and couldn't come up with an original thing, so he'd always end everything with bitch, and they're like, finally accept himself, so he stopped saying that and started making better puns. I'm sorry, it was funny.
Guess I don't have to watch that episode now.
I just explained it to you.
I do want to watch it. I've heard good things about Rick and Morty.
Yeah, I like Rick and Morty.
I also said that about Adventure Time, but I still have never watched an episode of Adventure Time.
There's a lot more episodes of Adventure Time than Rick and Morty, though.
They're starting their third season.
Yeah, I think they just started season 3 of Rick and Morty. Or just ended season 2 or something.
Rick and Morty, the problem I have with that is it sounds like a bad morning show.
It does, really. You're on the radio with Rick and Morty. Just in time for the Friday
morning
fart song.
Sounds like a bad Australian morning show.
Hi, Rick. Good day, Morty.
See? It's no good.
It's good.
I don't want to watch that.
Oy. So the basic consensus is that Hellraiser 2 is an excellent movie and everyone should go out and see it.
That's consensus.
Exactly.
No.
That's not what we said at all.
I don't think it's bad. I mean, I think there are a lot worse things you could end up watching, certainly.
I think you should watch Hellraiser 1 and Hellraiser 2. The rest of them, I think, are...
And 3. I like Hell on Earth.
Okay.
Just watch the skin suiting over and
stop
over
before
and over
they go to space. Stop before they go into space. Going into space typically does end up going poorly for most series. Let's face it.
Freddy never went.
Freddy
doesn't
in
mean
space.
They didn't try, I'm sure.
Guys, Michael in space, let's do it.
That might be the best worst of them all.
What if someone decided to do a Halloween sequel and it was the Michael Myers has traveled to the first Mars colony?
Oh, that was Ghost of Mars.
Oh, he's.
What if they just did that? Because what if they did that? Halloween on Mars and just call it that. Oh my gosh, that's so bad. It's almost awesome.
It would. Definitely.
I don't know how it would work out, but
I think
like,
it would work better as a funny trailer than a whole movie.
Yeah, you probably want to give that about 2.5 minutes tops.
Guys, my phone's ringing. Apparently, it's a studio wanting to take. They just bought it.
Miramax just called. Dimension wants to make it.
A24 Films.
Dimension Extreme wants to make it in 110 minutes, and that's it.
That covers everything. We need
an hour and 10 minutes. Excuse me.
We need to cover space travel and just basically telling everybody to watch The Martian before seeing it.
I like how we get Jason in space. Trying to figure out how to get Michael into space is a fascinating idea.
Well, they've got water there now, so he'll be fine.
Because he's thirsty.
Yeah. He's just walking around the lake looking for people to kill.
Freddy in space. I mean, like, if the crew had to go into hypersleep.
Well, that's easy. Yeah, that's there's no difficulty there at all.
What else is there to do in space but sleep, really?
Scream.
Yeah. But no one can hear it.
No one can
hear
it. Yeah.
But I mean, like, Michael, like, would it be... I like to think that there's, like, some sort of space Loomis who's, like, trying to keep him, like, locked away on Mars. They send him to the Mars Asylum, and on the way to the Mars Asylum, he wakes up.
I hope he's just called Space,
Space Loomis.
Space Loomis would be a great space band name.
Space Loomis, what are you talking about?
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I still kind of lean toward, yeah, watch this movie, but only, like, I think you can turn the sound off and just...
and just look at it?
Yeah, like, play your favorite Judas Priest album over it, and you're good to go. Like, Hellbent for Leather, let's do it.
I think that's an interesting thing about Clive Barker, though, is that as great a novelist as he is, and I'm going to call him a great novelist to someone. I'm not going to say he had staying power. He did hit that point, and it did tail off. But, man, when he was in his heyday there, they were fantastic. But his movies are much more things to just be watched. Like, they're visually, Hellraiser and Hellraiser 2 are pretty stunning. And I know he didn't do the second one, but they're still based off his. But I don't know that, like, story-wise, yeah, I think they're pretty weak.
I mean, as a writer, I didn't find that the strength of his strength in writing was in description and not in dialogue. Like, I don't think, like, the characters talking in Hellbound Heart was not that interesting. So maybe that's part of it, is that it's not story that's interesting. It's really these set pieces that he creates. Even with writing, it's creating the house, creating the image of Pinhead and the rest of the Cenobites, and like making all these visual things that happen and plot. Like, the plot is even really thin in Hellbound Heart. Like, it has some interesting moments because of what the characters do, but it, like, the plot itself is really not an interesting aspect of the story. So I feel like he's an artist. He's not necessarily a director.
I'd be curious to see. I'd be curious to hear you take on one of his novels and see what you think after that. Because, I mean, he has some giant novels. And
yeah.
I remember enjoying them a lot. I haven't read them in
you
know, 15 years at this point, but I remember liking them a lot. So I'd be curious to... Because he is an artist, and that is a fascinating thing. Aberrat, his kids series, is filled with his art, which is very cool as well.
Yeah.
Thief of Always might be my favorite of his books. Did you read that, Brian?
I think I have. I don't... I mean...
It's a really good kids' horror book.
I definitely have it. I don't know if I'm pretty sure I've read it.
I'd be one to check out with Jackson or something like that. If I remember, I remember liking it quite a bit. And it was like a very much a traditional, like, fairy tale-ish thing, but like a kid's, you know, horror thing.
Right.
Well, I'm not even saying, I don't mean to come off as saying that I didn't like the book. I really liked it, but I don't think the strength was in, like, the sequence of events that occurred. Like,
right.
The strength of it was in the description, in sort of the characters' thoughts and what they were thinking, but not necessarily, like, here, like, what things were happening was not the most interesting part of it. It was sort of, mm-hmm. like, these really evocative images and, like, what you see through Barker's eyes, and not necessarily, like, here are all the things that are happening. I would definitely like to read more of his fiction.
I would like to see more and know more about the Cenobites. I think that's what the... Like, if
I was Scarlet Gospels was written for you.
If I was going to watch the Hellraisers, all of them, I would just hope that they would explain the Cenobites better.
Yeah,
but I don't think they do. They just find new awful people to have their desires preyed upon, kind of deal.
So it's basically the same thing over. Like it's like every hour, the same thing over and over again.
They become more and more direct to video as well. More and more direct to video, kind of silk stalkings, you know, Hellraiser kind of stuff. There, I mean, if I recall, because I like I said, I have at least watched at least through, like I said, through Inferno, which is the fifth one. At least I know I've seen that one. I don't know if I've gone further than that. I feel like I did watch Deader.
I have to watch the rest of these movies. Did you know that there was actually a video game that was created for Hellraiser? They spent a lot of money on it.
No.
Never saw the light of day.
What system?
I looked it up while I was watching the movie, and I was like, holy crap. It probably became Clive Barker's Undying.
Or Fear. Oh, but Fear? No. Which was it?
I played Jericho.
Jericho is his other one, right?
I liked that game.
Which one, Undying or Jericho?
Jericho. I didn't play Undying. I like Jericho just fine. It had some pretty interesting mechanics. It wasn't a great shooter, but it's kind of interesting.
It just always, and that's why I got confused. I just always got them all mixed up with Fear, I felt like.
Yeah. This one,
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It was a team-based shooter where you could switch characters because you are the main character, but then you die, and so you are a spirit who can inhabit the different characters, and they all have different abilities. So it was actually kind of interesting.
So the Hellraiser game was supposed to come out in 1990 for the NES.
Jesus Christ. What are you going to do on an NES? I mean, that's like the era of like Total Recall piece of shit. So like, what are you going to do in a Hellraiser game on the NES? Wow.
Because
they're not going to make you Pinhead.
No, it looks like I'm sending you the link, but it looks like there's a...
That you are Pinhead?
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
I'm sorry. Gameplay focused on a character that was trapped in the Le Marchand puzzle from the film.
That makes sense, and you're trying to escape. So essentially it becomes something, you know, Silent Hell-ish. Silent Hill-ish.
Ooh, Hell-ish. I like Silent Hell-ish.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal that. And I just sent some screenshots of the game, which I think looks really interesting.
There was an actual ad.
That doesn't look like NES. It looks more. It totally looks like Genesis or SNES. And I believe you, there's NES. It just looks like those.
I just Googled Hellraiser video game, and that's what came up.
Cool. Yeah.
They made like ads in the magazines for it, too.
Oh, yeah. And then they decided, this kid's system won't sell this. Because at that point, they weren't making adult games for the NES.
Exactly.
Very few. Or they were very... Toned down. I mean, you had Nightmare on Elm Street, which was basically Boo Haunted House. Like,
and Friday the 13th.
Yeah, here's a haunted house
like
full
the 13th
of
game.
Yeah,
it's weird. But I love it. It's so good though. At the same time, though, it's bad, but it's good. I beat it one summer. I sat there and I worked very hard to get the sweater and to get the powered up machete and all those things to then learn Jason's pattern. To then finally beat the super fast Jason in the end, and it was hard, but I'm proud of beating that.
You should.
Just to beat it like three times, I think. I think it's three before it's done for good.
I actually beat the E.T. game for the Atari when I had it.
Good.
That's way excellent.
I played an emulator version of the Nightmare. God damn. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre and the Halloween games for the Atari. I played them online once. And those are very strange. That Texas Chainsaw Massacre game is weird. Like your Leatherface, and you're trying to kill just teenagers running around, but your chainsaw runs out of gas as you uses gas as you kill them, so you have to keep refilling it to kill more teenagers. It's very strange.
God, that sounds tedious. Like I'm doing yard work.
It is kind of. And the Halloween game is kind of like Friday the 13th, where you run into a house and like you'll get to a screen and the Halloween music's playing and there's Michael and I don't know how to get around him. I don't know what to do.
Well, I think that's it. I think we've hit the pinnacle of our conversation and it's going to be all downhill from here.
I want to play the Hellraiser game now.
Pinheadical of our conversation.
We've reached the apotheosis of this.
Yes.
And
so what's that?
Hey,
do
guys.
We have another head movie next?
We're gonna do Child's Play 2, Exorcist 2, and Pumpkinhead. Right, we're gonna do Pumpkinhead.
What should we do next?
Pumpkinhead 2.
What should we end with?
Child's Play.
Think about that.
Child's Play.
Okay.
Child's Play. I watched Curse of Chucky yesterday. I don't think that movie's that bad.
Which
is that? It's the newest one.
Did I ever see it? I don't even remember.
It's not great.
You call yourself a horror fan.
Remember when I saw it. There's Bride and then Seed and then Curse.
Yeah, Curse is the most recent. It's actually not that bad.
I just don't remember if I saw it.
It's ridiculous. Like, it's more restrained than Bride or Seed.
So Ronnie Yu is not doing it anymore.
I don't know. I don't remember who directed it, but it's way more restrained. It's kind of a return to just brutal killing by a doll.
That doesn't sound restrained at all.
Well,
to Bride and Seed, it does.
Yeah, the comedy, the comedy aspects of it. So yeah, I can't wait to talk about that one.
Cool.
Guys. Yeah.
Hellraiser 2.
I say see it.
Yeah, I see it.
Listen to it. Just watch it.
There's a lot of other stuff to see, but I mean, if you're, you know, in that mindset, yeah, do it.
There's seven other Hellraiser movies for you to enjoy as well.
And just barrel through them and let us know how awful it was.
Yeah.
Let us know if Pinhead shows up. If you watch them all and Pinhead finally shows up, then you know you've accomplished something.
Just to take you away, because you've lived hell, he's going to take you to heaven. Guys, I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lona.
And thanks for listening again. We'll see you next time.
Or
talk to you next time. Whatever.
Nail it. Nail it.
Cenobites. Don't.
Cenobites. They're hella good.